carefully specifying what these commercial purposes were, and we decided finally that the plan would become so bulky to describe all of these and the various criteria that you might want to put in there, that we'd leave it to the judgment of the gasoline retailer. And I think he's going to know pretty much if a guy is legitimately using his car for business purposes. Obviously, if he's got commercial plates, he's almost a cinch to be on business.
What about the fine of $500 for 6 months in jail? Do you think that's just for people who are buying gas on the wrong day?
No, this is for violations of a misdemeanor, and the choice had to be made whether you tried to make this a voluntary plan or a mandatory plan. And if you're going to make it mandatory, you've got to have some enforcement of it. And it was the desire of the dealers themselves and of the counties, the local governments, that it be mandatory. And a great deal of study has gone into that. Yeah, that's the maximum. That doesn't mean that that's a minimum that everybody gets.
Commercial vehicle is liable for this felony.
I don't think you can fine him for misjudgment.
Would the violation be against the driver, governor, or against the service station?
Either one that incurs the infraction.
Okay. And also, can you tell me who would enforce this? I mean, do you have any kind of group going around to check on the gas stations?
Yes. Based on what the governor had just told you already, the Office of Emergency Services will establish the state control center. We'll have similar centers at each of the counties that are participating in this program. Now, at that county control center, there will be a representative of state government along with an interface from the county governments. We'll be working very closely with the service station operators and the service station associations to ascertain if indeed the plan is working effectively. The local law enforcement people will also be involved insofar as violations of the program are concerned.
Can you realistically expect to catch people violating this plan? I mean, it could happen many times all day all over a city. How can you catch everybody like that?
Well, I think that as we have noticed in the past, that the people are very eager to report violations. I think the people who are working with the program that we've established so far in conservation is a good indication of their genuine interest in making the program work.
Now, these would have to be citizens' arrest violations, wouldn't they? Unless an officer witnessed it himself.
No, it'd be they'll issue citations. Nobody's going to come in and drag someone away by the scruff of the neck. Just like getting a ticket, they'll be issued a citation. Huh? Local law enforcement, yeah.
Will they not?
No.
The complaint that local law enforcement would investigate. They're not going to just be handing out random citations. But if you had a service station that is continually violating, the investigation shows that, then they can get a summons from the DA, or they can write out a citation if they witness a violation, whatever it happens to be.
Yeah. May I just point something out here? This is not a shot in the dark. First of all, let me make a couple of points here. Number one, this is not something the state was eager to mandate. We had hoped that this plan could remain a contingency plan forever. We don't feel it was any more necessary than when I remarked a few days ago that if the panic buying would simply stop, there was no reason for it and no need for this. But it didn't stop, and so something is needed, and the counties have asked for our help. The local government has asked for our help on this. We're doing it. At any time that a county feels it has been cooled down and that an emergency no longer exists, just as in any other emergency, they can ask us to lift this, and we'll lift it. But it is in effect now in some other states. In some states on a voluntary basis, in others like Hawaii, on a mandatory basis. And there is experience upon which to base these things that we're doing, that it does work, and that there is not widespread breaking of the law. Well, because, again, I say there are many areas in the state where they're having no such problem. There are probably a number of rural counties that are going to, they're not going to attempt this at all. The big problem up till now has been in the south. We've been surprised that a few northern counties over in the Bay Area have already. And we have five counties that have already asked for this. And I was surprised that there were really any in the north, because there hasn't been that much. much of a problem, but I'm quite sure that there would be no need for this in some of the rural counties. Well, because you're talking about a driver who can't arrange his tourist, let's say, some of the other end of the country who can't arrange his schedule to just arrive on the proper day in California. And you don't want to force someone to have to stay overnight in order to get out of the state if he's on his way someplace else.
Somebody from out of state who has moved here and is in the process of getting a new license plate, would he be exempt until they get a new license plate?
Well, there are little things of this kind that are so few in percentage that you can't just mandate every or take care of everything. You just have to allow for certain percentage losses.
No fear at all that local law enforcement people will be so busy handing out or taking down citations to certain owners of drivers who might have violated this plan that they won't be doing their ordinary criminal or crime enforcement.
This has not been the case. We have and Wes has checked and has been on the phone and talked to people in other states and to the other states where this is being tried on both bases. And actually, what about now? If you're in Los Angeles, the number of policemen that are assigned to traffic duty down in the middle of a block regulating a line of cars that's trying to get into a gas station, they've been taken away from normal crime fighting.
Riverside County is actually including this, but with one important exception, they want permission to exclude portions of their desert area. Now, will that be permitted or not? Can they impose it on that basis?
Actually, we've asked them to define whether they indeed want cities or a better geographical definition of what will be declared. In fact, they're now falling back and are redefining the area that they're going to declare. It may very well be that they will not declare the entire county.
Will they have that option?
Well, as long as we can define it geographically, you can't say that anything east of a certain mountain will not be covered.
Point. If they
pinpoint the city, they're going to exclude or something of that sort, yes, we can exclude.
Or unincorporated area.
Yes.
Then that will be permitted.
How much of a reduction in waiting time do you anticipate to bring about?
Well, on the basis of, wait a minute, Wes, you answer this. You had something about one of your calls.
Yes, in Hawaii, where they have a mandatory plan, before the plan went into effect, they were experiencing on the average a 2 to 3 block line. The report today is that they're down to an average of 5 to 8 cars, in some cases less.
The executive director of PSSA said in no way will it reduce the lines by anywhere, I think it was mentioned earlier, 50%. He said no way will it reduce it by anywhere near that point, 10 to 15% at the most. Who's right?
The governor's office in Hawaii gave me this report about 2 hours ago. Also in Oregon, even though they're voluntary but expecting to go mandatory, they've reduced their lines considerably. They did have some problems about three weeks after the plan went into effect, but it was because of a distribution problem mostly on the gasoline. And it's now pretty well back on track. Hawaii. In Hawaii, right. But I think the question was, does a mandatory plan cut down on lines? And I think the answer is it certainly has in both Oregon and Hawaii. In Hawaii, from 2 to 3 blocks to 5 to 8 cars.
Well, nobody's going to know that until you try it. This is an effort to try and stop panic buying, which is unnecessary as of now. There's no need for those lines now. And we hope that this will do it when the people understand. We also want to stress, and I hope that you will all help us, we want to stress the need for people to continue to conserve. This doesn't mean that there's going to be any increase in the amount of gas available, and it's what it was the other day when I spoke to you and told you that the people are going to have the equivalent of about 80% of the gas that they formerly had before there was a shortage. And if they will think of that and double up some and save some, there's no need for any problem. Well, we're going to try to encourage the stations to stagger hours and stagger days and so forth, and we're going to do that by one method is encouraging ration their allocation out on a basis of 7 days a week or whatever days they want to stay open.
Does Mr. Have you been able to put a price tag on what the implementation of this plan will cost? And if there are any local costs, does SB 90 require that the state pick those costs?
No.
The government will pay that portion of the cost in order to operate their element of the program, keeping in mind that the Emergency Services Act, based upon our advice, is not in conflict with SB 90.
Question. We now have 80% allocation in California. The National Petroleum Council in Washington yesterday indicated that we may have to cut back by another 400,000 barrels daily. So would you say that things are going to get worse before they get better? And also in your statement, you say it's a temporary plan, but the same council says that even if the Arab oil embargo is lifted, that anything approaching normalcy in the energy supply system cannot be achieved.
Yes, I'd like to take a crack at that, if you don't mind. We think that we've hit the bottom in February, that our differential between supply and unconstrained demand is going to remain at about this level until such time as the Arab embargo may be lifted. If the embargo is lifted, there's about a two-month lag between transportation, processing, and distribution before we show up at the pump.
I hope, however, that, may I add on to that, Wes, that, that people won't, and here again you can all be of help. People should not get the idea that this crisis was brought about by the Arab boycott or embargo and that it suddenly is going to disappear if this is lifted. They don't supply that big a percentage of our needs. They triggered it, but all of us knew and have been talking about the energy shortage and the fact that we were faced with a shortage problem, even counting on Arab oil. Now, as I say, I think they triggered it, and maybe they did us a favor in making us realize that we're on thin ice in the whole energy situation. What's that?
How temporary is temporary, do you think?
Are you thinking in terms of any specific number of months or anything?
For the plan?
Over the plan. That's going to be on the county. If any county finally decides that it's cooled down and that they can now lift this, all they have to do, as they do in any emergency, is say we don't need it anymore and we'll take it off.
You're calling it temporary, but you haven't. What we're trying to get at is, are you thinking about 6 months or a year, or what are you thinking?
I haven't thought beyond. The county is making their decision.
Brewer, in your conversations with gasoline dealers, do they think this plan will make their supply last long enough through the month to let them remain open on Sundays?
I think they welcome any kind of a plan that will bring a little more order at the pump. There are some conservation features in it, in that people will have to plan considerably better and in advance if they're going to do any substantial driving, and this has been the case in Oregon. Also, one of the features of the plan, as you probably noticed, is that we do ask them to space out their allocation to last to the end of the month.
Did they tell you that then there might be more stations that would be able to stay open on Sundays then?
I think we'll see more stations opening on Sundays, and maybe using other days to close.
Do you have any concern that as Friday of each week, no matter what number, odd or even, that person, if the stations are closed in the area, would have to go to next Tuesday before they get gas?
Well, we hope to see more stations open on Sunday and maybe pick other closing days, and I think this will happen.
May I point out that involved in all of these discussions has been the Association of Service Station Owners, and they have wanted something of this kind, so that I believe you're going to find a group who want to cooperate and who are going to try to their best to make it work.
There are rumors about the Arab oil tankers being diverted
this wasn't, it was hardly a, this was spinning. If they're spinning their rudders, we got no worry about it. No, I don't think this was a whispered rumor. This was something that the Shah said the other night. But Mr. Simon has said that the Shah does not have correct information, and that's not going on at all. And he seemed to be pretty forthright and give some pretty factual answers to this the other day that it was not. I don't know whether the Shah is subject to rumors himself or not, but I certainly don't question his honesty. But I think that it's very possible he had some misinformation.
Were all the ones just requested to be added?
Here, we'll give you a rundown.
I can give you the counties that we've had indicate to us that they have definitely been declared. Those are Alameda County, Contra Costa County, Los Angeles County, San Mateo County, and Solano County. Now, you must keep in mind there are a number of counties that have advised us that they're waiting to see the details of the plan before they make a final decision. We'd expect that tomorrow we'd have a number of counties coming in, and even into March, because they can't get a group of their supervisors together at this time to make that decision.
Sure. The counties that we met with in Los Angeles were Los Angeles, San Diego, Orange, Ventura, San Bernardino, Riverside, and Imperial. And of those, all of them indicated that they were sort of the, as much as us calling the meeting, they wanted the meeting. They indicated that they wanted this plan. But as Herb says, this is just going to take when they have their meeting and when they get together.
For the state of emergency in the counties that have requested, have you done so already, or will it become effective Friday?
Tomorrow. As we say, those that get in by 5 o'clock tomorrow, it'll be declared to be effective the next day, Friday, March 1st.
One Friday?
Huh?
At 12:01 Friday?
0001.
There's one point you talk about violations here. Are you talking about part of this package is that stations should allocate their gasoline at least till the end of the month? Now, will they be subject to some kind of reprimand if they do not?
Yeah, that's valid.
But if they don't?
Well, I think they could put themselves liable.
You say each service station shall indicate, and then if the flag system is used, is that an option?
Well, they can substitute signs instead of flags. If a fellow wants to put up a sign says I'm in open for business or I'm closed, he can. But if they want to use a flag system, we've specified three uniform colors so there won't be confusion. One says yes, come on in, and the other one says emergency vehicles, and the third one says don't come in.
You said last week that this plan hasn't worked very well in other places where it's been tried. Do you have prepared or are you considering any further plan if this one does not work in California?
Well, I have found out, and as I said, checking here with the monitoring, I had been, my knowledge was of the breakdown, which we now have learned was due to a shorting of the allocation in Oregon. I had heard of the apparent breakdown, even though it was a voluntary plan of that, but it turns out that that breakdown occurred because there was a sudden panic when there was a shortage below the normal allocation in Oregon. And evidently, it's worked well enough now that they are going to make it mandatory there instead of voluntary.
Are you working on any additional plan, though, if this one does not work?
Well, we're not. This is not so fixed in concrete that we find bugs that need straightening out and correcting, they'll be corrected.
Most of us have a disposable investment account. I mean, why should a tourist from Iowa be able to drive to Japan on any given day, and I can't?
But what?
Why should a tourist from Iowa be able to drive to Disneyland or the ocean or wherever on any given day that he chooses that I can't?
Well,
tourism is the third biggest business in this state. And out-of-state flights are going to be exempt from the alternate day, but not from the half tank.
They'll be subject to that.
You're a big business in the state, right?
Yeah.
I invest more in this state than...
Well, all right, let's turn it around then to our state interest and what he said about tourism. When you start talking about what is going to be necessary or unnecessary, the fellow that might find himself laid off in the tourist industry and lose his job because there's no more tourist business. Well, he figures he's got a stake and a right, too, to say, hey, protect the people that keep my job going. And, you know, you have to recognize that. It's like sitting in a... I remember one day with a group of governors when this whole allocation plan was first proposed in Washington. The question came up about things like snowmobiles and so forth. Well, your first reaction would be that's unnecessary traveling. But the governor who asked that question says, I have 8,000 people in my state who make their living making snowmobiles. Do we put them out of business and lay off 8,000 men, throw them out of their jobs? There's a series of dominoes, and it isn't a very simple problem. And I think when you've got, let's say, the third biggest industry, where do the dominoes stop if you suddenly wipe out this industry? I guess they're in the same provisions as anyone else.
They got plates.
They got plates, yeah.
Part of the purpose of the local monitoring center is to work with the service station associations and the individual service station owners that there might be some equitable marketing program within that county so that the citizens of the county can go to stations knowing where they are and have be relatively assured that there's going to be gasoline there for them.
I decided that it would rather not have a gas station sell gas between the hours of 7 and 9 and 4 and 6 and tell its operators or its gas station attendants not to open up there.
Well, that's a county option.
It has an option.
Yeah.
I do not plan.
Well, I don't think under this plan.
But if it became necessary, we think it could be done on a voluntary basis working with the associations to get the staggered hours. If we find that's not possible and it becomes necessary to do it on a mandatory basis, these regulations can be amended to do that. That's the purpose of these monitoring teams. To find out.
Do you or does the state generally have any authority under the Emergency Act to get into the allocation of gasoline within the state? For example, if there's a surplus in Sacramento County and not in L.A. County,
as a matter of fact, the consul opinion we've had is that the governor does have that broad authority to employ the emergency service.
The plan does not envision that at the moment.
It does not.
Temple, on the deadline situation, you mentioned a moment ago that some counties can't get their supervisors meeting in time. Does that mean that your deadline of 5 p.m. tomorrow will be waived in some cases?
No, they'll have an opportunity that when they determine that there's indeed an emergency in their county, they'll come to the governor and ask him to declare at a later date.
5 p.m. tomorrow.
Governor, are you hopeful that this will work out better than compliance with the 55-mile-an-hour speed limit, which there's been some reports that hasn't been slipping on that?
Well, there have been some conflicting reports, and maybe I better let the energy counselor answer on that. My latest finding has been that it was working pretty darn good.
I think you're going to find people that will take advantage of any situation. From my personal experience, I think most people are observing the 55. The violators sure stick out, and you notice them, and it seems like they're probably a bigger percentage than they really are.
Bill, you had him. Yeah.
The day I saw out-of-state car with a bumper sticker saying yes on 20, indicating that he had been in the state for quite some time. I understand that people do this. They keep their old license plates because it's cheaper to register their cars in other states. But now with this gas situation, I think it's even more likely that people...
When I first came out here from Iowa in 1937, I drove it as long as I could in Iowa plates. They caught me.
There has been some violence in certain stations.
Yeah.
Now, with this tight restriction, don't you anticipate some problems when somebody drives in and the needle is right on half tank, or maybe just the coach over and the attendant says you can't have gas, and he insists, and something might come about?
Well, I think common sense is going to...
Common sense hasn't been working.
Well,
get angry and want gas.
Common sense. sense, hasn't been working because, say, it's been a panic situation. There wasn't much common sense in a lady driving a Volkswagen into an oil station the other day in Los Angeles and getting 67 cents worth of gas and then trying to pay for it with a credit card either, with the line stretching down the street. But we think that this is going to restore common sense.
Thank you, Judge.
Hope not. But again, if it does, these are the bugs that you'll work out.
At least now I can call a cop.